Chesamad Aleph, we're up to the 13th line in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Lava Himena Benichse Aviha, Eina Nifras Ela Al Yedei Acher. So imagine the following. Imagine a Kohen is married, and his wife brings in certain properties to the marriage, what we usually refer to as Nichse Malug, which basically is property that basically still belongs to the wife, but the husband has the rights to consume the fruit from it. So he borrows money from that property that belongs to the wife, and then the couple gets divorced. So the halacha is that the Kohen is only allowed to pay back his ex-wife through somebody else, because if he pays her back directly, the concern is that it may lead to having relations. Amar Rav Sheshes, V'i Asu L'kaman L'dina, and in fact, if the husband pays the money back directly, and then they come to court and they have some sort of a financial case in court, we don't listen to the case. We ignore them because they violated the din. He wasn't supposed to pay her back directly. Rav Papa Amar Shamusi Misham Sinan Lehu, Rav Huna Berei Rav Yehoshu Amar Nagudi Nami Magdina Lehu. So then they're varying opinions in the Gemara. Maybe we put them at the Chirem. Maybe we give them Malkus. Amar Rav Nachman Tana Be'evo Rabasi Bamed Dvar Mamurim Shen Isgar Shemin Hani Suin Avol Kishen Isgar Shemin Eirus and Efras Lai De'atzma She'in Libo Gaspa. That which the Gemara said that the Kohen is not allowed to pay back his ex-wife directly, that's when they were divorced from Nisu, and they were married for 20 years, they got divorced, then he's not allowed to pay her back directly, he has to use a shliach. However, if they were only divorced from Erisin, so they barely knew each other, they were only engaged for a couple of months, for a year, whatever it was, so they're not so familiar with each other, we're not so concerned that it's going to lead to relations, then he can pay her back directly. And the Gemara says, Ahu arisvaru sasu da asulu kame de rava, yosef ravada bar masna kame, okay, Rava Shlucha Bein Sayu. So one time, a man and his ex Arusa, so they were only engaged, and then they were divorced from engagement. So they came before Rava, they had some kind of a case, and Rav Ada Bar Masna was there, and Rava put a shliach there as an intermediary between the two of them. So Amar Le Rav Ada Bar Masna, Amar Rav Nachman Tana Be'evo Rabasi. So Rav Ada asked him, but didn't Rav Nachman just quote the Brisa from Evo Rabasi that says that this halacha only applies when they're divorced from Nisuin, not from Erisin? So he said, no. Amar Le Kachazina De Kagayse Bahadade. I see that they're very close with one another. I see that they're familiar with each other, meaning if you can see that this in this particular case that the Arus and his ex-Arusa are close, the way that a husband and his ex-wife might still be. So the Gemara says, then the same standard is going to apply. Then the Gemara says, Ika Damre, lo okay Rava Shliach Ben Saiv. In the second version of the Gemara, Rava did not appoint a Shliach because they were only divorced from Erisin. So Amar Le Ravada Bar Masna, Nekomar Shlucha Ben Saiv. So Ravada asked him, why don't you appoint a Shliach? So Amar Le, Amar Rav Nachman Tana Be'eva Rabasi, to which Rava pushed back, but doesn't the Brisa say that you only need the shliach when they're divorced from Yisuin? So Amar Le, no. Hani mila hecha de la gaisei bahadadei aval hani kachazina luhu de gaisei bahadadei. Again, because we see that they're close, therefore even in this case you're going to require a shliach. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ve'ilu ne'eman adam lo, I'm sorry, ve'ilu ne'emanin lohayit begodlan ma'shireu bekodnan. The following people are believed to testify when they're a gadol, when they're over bar mitzvah, regarding things that they saw when they were still ketanim. So, for example, the Mishnah says, "Neman adam lomar zek sav yado shel abba v'zek sav yado shel rebbe v'zek sav yado shel achi." A person is believed to testify that this is my father's or my rebbe's or my brother's signature, even if he only saw that signature when he was, let's say, 10 years old. Zachar ha'isi b'flones sheyatza b'hinuma v'rosha parua. Or he could testify about a certain woman that when she got married, she went out with a hinuma, or that her head was uncovered. We referenced this Gemara back in the beginning of the parak. That's a simen that the woman when she got married, she was a besula. V'shehaya ish ploni yotz. Or he could say, I remember this kid, he used to leave school to go to the mikvah to eat truma, and he used to share some of the food with us on the granary, which is basically a sign that he's a Kohen. A Beis HaPras, as we'll talk about in the Gemara, is an area where there's a concern that there might have been a dead body that was buried, but we lost track of the dead body, so the area is considered to be Tameh Misafik. Or he is also believed to say, we used to walk until here on Shabbos, meaning this is the end of the Tchum. However, a person is not believed to say that Reuven used to own this path, or that Shimon used to give hespedim on this area, which is basically another way of saying that this area belonged to him. Because as we'll see in the Gemara, he's going to basically be trying to take property or take money out of someone else's possession and grant it over to Reuven or Shimon. And again, you're going to need more evidence for that. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Ravuna Berei Rav Yehoshua, v'hu sheyesh gadol imo." That which the Mishnah said that there are certain cases where you can believe a person regarding that which they saw as a katan. That's assuming that there was someone over bar mitzvah with them. And the Gemara explains, "Utzricha diashminan aviv mishum deshchiach gabei aval rabo lo diashminan rabo mishum deisle imse derabe aval aviv lo diashminan hani tarte aviv deshchiach gabei." Rabbi Virabu de Isle Aim say, Aval Achiv de Lesle Lohavaloha, Imalo, Kamash Malan, Kavan the Kim Shdaras me de Rabbanan, Him Nuhu Rabbanan, Bid de Rabbanan. So the Gemara basically says that one might have thought that there are reasons to distinguish between all these cases, because a person is more commonly found by his father, so there's a higher chance that he might remember what his father's signature looks like. When it comes to his Rebbe, because of the fear of his Rebbe, maybe his Rebbe's signature was somehow imprinted on his mind. And when it comes to the brother, in other words, you don't have either of those two factors. However, at the end of the day, because the whole concept of kiyum shtaros, of certifying shtaros, is only a din derabanan, so Chazal were lenient. They said we're gonna grant credibility to this person to say this is his brother's or father's or Rebbe's signature, even if he only saw it when he was a katan. Okay, then we said zochor hayisi beflone sheyatsa behinuma verosha parua maitaima kevin derov nashim besulos nisos gilui milsa ba'almahu. So the Gemara says that again, since the majority of women get married as virgins, so the fact that the person said when I was 10, I remember that the woman got married with the hinuma and with the myrtle branches and her hair was uncovered, it's not really testimony. The odds are it's 95% likely that she was probably a besula when she got married. So the person's not really telling us, new information that we didn't really already know. Okay, then we say v'shahaya ish ploni yotzim beis hasefer litvo lecho b'tzruma v'dilma evet koinu. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. How is the fact that a person is testifying that, back when we were in school, I remember this kid used to go out of school and go to the mikvah and eat truma, as if to say this kid is a kohen. Maybe he was an eved of a kohen. The din is that a kohen's eved is also allowed to eat truma. How does this prove that the person was actually a kohen? So the Gemara points out parenthetically, Misayel le Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, the Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Asur la Adam sheyalamid es avdo Torah. So the Gemara says, you see from this story in the Mishnah that a person is not allowed to teach Torah to his eved. How do you see that from the Mishnah? Because if it was permissible to teach Torah to the eved, so part of the testimony that the person was giving is that I remember when we used to be in school and we were learning Torah, they used to take the kid out to go to the mikvah to eat truma. So that, in other words, if that statement is considered a proof that a person is a kohen, so then obviously the assumption is that the fact that he was going and learning Torah in school is only a valid option if he's really a kohen. If he's the eved of a kohen, apparently that's not an option. So the Gemara says, you see from here that an eved is not allowed to learn Torah. So the Gemara pushes back. The Gemara says, Velo, the Hasanya, Lava himen rabo, osha aso, rabo apotropis, osha. The Gemara quotes a brisa that says that, let's say, for example, an eved lent money to his master, or he was appointed as some kind of a guardian or a steward over the master's possessions, or he put tefillin on in front of his master, or he recited three psukim in shul. So the Gemara says none of those things are necessarily evidence that the person was freed. So the question is, so don't you see from here that you are allowed to teach Torah to your eved? Because the fact is, just because my eved is reading psukim in shul doesn't necessarily prove that he's a free man, that he's that he's a regular Jew. So the Gemara says no. That which the Braisa says that the Eved was reading Psukim, he could be doing that of his own accord. But the halacha about teaching someone Torah, that you're not allowed to do for your Eved. So the fact that you're teaching him Torah is a proof that he's a regular Kohen. It's very possible that the Eved could have picked up a Chumash on his own and started reading Psukim on his own. That's possible. But to actually teach him Torah, that you're not allowed to do. Okay. Then we said, So that's a good question. How does he get the money? Doesn't the money go back to the master? That's a whole separate discussion. That's kind of tangential to this Gemara. But yeah, that's a fair question. Okay. So then we said,
This boy who was now an adult,
right? Yeah, presumably you're gonna have to go through the same rigorous set of questions you would ask to anyone, right? But but again, you have to also factor in those different considerations about maybe there's a chazaka, maybe the person had a presumption of being a kohen, maybe he's just bolstering that chazaka. So you have to factor those things into these cases. Okay, then we said litvo lecho b'sruma durabanan. When the Mishnah said that the person is believed to say that this guy, when he was a kid, he was taken out of school, he went to the mikvah and he ate truma, so we're only talking about truma durabanan. In other words, this testimony is only good enough to allow him to eat truma durabanan, right? Truma durabanan refers to things like fruits and vegetables, right? Midah oraisa, you only take off truma on grain, wine, and oil. Midah rabbanan, truma also applies to fruit and vegetables. So this person's testimony about something that he saw as a katan is only enough to allow this person to eat truma midah rabbanan, but not truma midah oraisa. Okay, then we say v'shahaya cholik imanu ala goren v'dilma ever koinu. So again, when the Mishnah said that the person said, when I was a katan, I remember he used to, give truma out on the granary. So again, maybe he's the eved of a kohen. In other words, because the kohen's avadim are also entitled entitled to eating truma. How does it prove that this kid was really a Kohen? So the Gemara says, no. Tanan Kamanda Amar, Ein Cholkin Truma Le'Eved, Ela Im Kein Rabo Imo. Desanya, Ein Cholkin Truma Le'Eved, Ela Im Kein Rabo Imo. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yochel, Hu Shei Omer, Im Kohen Ani Tenuli B'Shvil Atzmi. Vim Eved Kohen Ani Tenuli B'Shvil Rabbi. Vim Komo Shah Rabbi Yehuda Hayu Malam Yitruma Le'Yuchsen. Vim Komo Shah Rabbi Yossi Lo Hayu Malam Yitruma Le'Yuchsen. So this is actually a machlokas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to give truma to a Kohen's Eved unless the master, the Kohen, is actually present, because then everyone realizes that he's just the Eved of the Kohen. However, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, Mimanav Shach. He says, in other words, the person can say, if I'm a real Kohen, so then give me Truma because I'm a Kohen, and even if I'm the Eved of a Kohen, I'm still entitled to Truma, you know, by dint of the fact that I'm the Kohen's Eved. So the Gemara says, based on this machlokes, that in the community of Rabbi Yehuda, they used to, if they saw a person eating truma, that was 100% of a proof that the person was really a Kohen, because Rabbi Yehuda would never allow an Eved to get truma without his master being there. So if you just see a random person eating truma, there's nobody else there, that's a simon in Rabbi Yehuda's town that the person is really a Kohen. Whereas in Rabbi Yossi's town, where they would give truma to the Avadim even without the master being there, it wasn't necessarily a proof that the person was a Kohen. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Miyomei lo he'arati, Pamachas he'arati, Vehelu eved l'chuhun al-pi. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar commented about himself that he never used to testify, and the one time that he did testify, he ended up making an eved into a Kohen. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? And the Gemara says, Helu salka, Daitach, Hashto umah behemton shel tzadikim ena kodesh baruch hu mevi takol al yadam, tzadikim ba'atzmam lo kol shakiv, ela bichshu lahalu sevet l'chuhun al-pi, chazav ba'asri de Rabbi Yossi, vazav asid ba'asri de Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says it can't be that he actually promoted an Eved to being a Kohen, because there's a famous Gemara in the beginning of Chulin that says that Hashem does not allow even the animals of Tzadikim to do Averos, so Kal v'chomer, the Tzadikim themselves can't engage in any sort of misdeed. So there's no way that Rabbi Elazar would have accidentally allowed an Eved to become a Kohen. Rather, what it means is that he attempted to do that until he realized his mistake, and the Gemara says because he had seen this person eating truma in Rabbi Yossi's community without realizing the fact that, again, in Rabbi Yossi's community, the fact that a person was eating truma wasn't a proof of anything. He could have just been an Eved, and then he tried to testify in Rabbi Yehuda's town, but again, as we pointed out, that's not enough of a proof if you saw the person eating truma in Rabbi Yossi's town. Okay, now we say, v'shehamokom hazeh beisaprasu maitayma beisapras derabana de'amar Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel menapeach adam beisapras v'holeich for Rabbi Yehuda barami mishvei de Rabbi Yehuda amar beisapras shenidash tahor. This is the famous idea called the Beis HaPras, which is a field where there's a concern that there might have been a dead body or a piece of a dead body that was buried under the field. So now the question becomes, do we have to assume that the field is Tamei? So the Gemara quotes that the whole institution of a Beis HaPras is only Midurabana, because we don't know for a fact that there's actually a dead body there. The Gemara quotes an idea that a person can walk through, even a Kohen, can walk through a Beis HaPras, and what he can do is he can blow on the ground, he can blow on the dirt, and if there's any bones or any part of a body that's there, he'll just, uncover it, and he'll be able to walk by without coming into contact with any of the parts of the dead body. And then the Gemara adds further that if the Beis HaPras was trampled already, so then it's considered to be Tahor, the reason being because once the field was trampled underfoot, the assumption is that even if there was a dead body here, at this point it's already been crushed up. It's already been crushed to under the shear of what's called an etzem kisaora, the size of a barley corn. That's the minimum size of a dead body. That's metame. So once you assume that the body has already been crushed up to smaller than that amount, so then the assumption is that the field is no longer tame. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Adkan ayinu b'ayim b'shabbos kasever tumin derabanan." That which the Mishnah said, That the person testified, we used to walk here until here on Shabbos. The reason why you can believe him is because we assume lahalacha that the whole prohibition against going outside of the tchum is only in Isser Midrabanan. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Ve'ein naman lomar derechay lefloni b'makom hazeh mamen mispidhay lefloni b'makom hazeh ma'itayma afukei mamon elam afkinan." So again, the Mishnah also pointed out that the person is not believed to say that, oh, this path used to belong to Reuven, this path, or this is the area where Shimon used to eulogize people, and this is his area. The reason why a person is not believed to say that is because what he's trying to do is he's trying to extract the property from, let's say, Levi, and give it back to Reuven or Shimon. So, of course, we're going to invoke the principle of Hamotzei Mechaver Olav Araya, where Reuven or Shimon are going to have to prove that they are the current owners of that path or of the area where the eulogies were given. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan, Neman Atinok Lomar, Kach Amar Li Abba Mishpacha Zo Tohora Mishpacha Zo Temeya, Tohora Temeya Sal Kadaitach, Ela Mishpacha Zo Kshira, U Mishpacha Zo Psula." So, a person is believed to say that my father told me when I was a kid that, this family has good yichus, this family doesn't have such good good yichus, his family, they're mamzerim, they're not mamzerim, whatever it is. V'sha'achalnu b'ktsatza shel bas ploni l'ploni. He's also believed to say that I ate at the ktsatza of so-and-so who married so-and-so. We'll see in a second, the Gemara, what exactly a ktsatza is. V'sha'ayinu molichim chala umatanus l'ploni choin al yidei atzmo avalo al yidei acher. He's also believed to say that I remember as a kid, I used to give chala and I used to give matnus kahuna to this guy who was a kohen, but he's only believed to say that if he gave it himself. He's not believed to say that I saw Reuven give this guy, you know, chala or matnos kahuna. However, if it was a person who, as a child, was not Jewish or was an eved and was subsequently freed or subsequently converted, then he's not believed to testify about that which he saw as a katan when he was not Jewish or when he was an eved. And again, he's not believed to say that, you know, Reuven used to own this path or Shimon used to eulogize in this area. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says the person is believed. So the question is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka aheya, which statement is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka disagreeing on? Ilema aseifa afuke mamonahu. It can't be that he's disagreeing with that last case about the person who said, I remember as a kid that Reuven used to own the path or Shimon used to eulogize here, because again, if he's trying to claim that Reuven and Shimon are the current owners of that area, they're going to have to prove that they own it, and that's a violation of Hamotzei Echaver. So there's no way that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka would disagree with that point. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Aresha, V'chula M'maya Ove Kochavim V'nis Gayer, Ebe V'nishtachar Ein Emanin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer Nemanin, B'may Kamifluge. So it must be that he's disagreeing with the first part of the statement, where the Gemara said that if the person said, when I was a non-Jewish child, or when I was an Evet, I saw X, Y, and Z. So again, the question then would be, well, what's the source of the Machlokas? Why does the Tanakhama say we don't believe him, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that we do believe things that he saw as a non-Jewish child or as an Eved? So the Gemara explains, Tanakhama saw Varkevin de Ove Kochavim who lahav adayik, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka saw Varkevin de Daite li gayure made the kavadayik. So again, he says very simply, he says that according to the Tanakhama, since the person at the time wasn't Jewish or was an Eved, the assumption was he didn't pay so much attention, we don't grant him any credibility, whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, he knew he was going to convert, he knew he was going to be freed, and therefore he was already paying attention, and we can believe that which he says. Okay, then the Gemara says, "My ketzatza." What is that ketzatza that we referenced in the Gemara earlier? The son of Rabbanim ketzat ketzatza. Echad mena achin shenasa isha she'ena hogenaslo. So let's say a person, one of the brothers, marries a woman who's not fit for him. Bain b'nei mishpachu mevin chavis melei aperos v'shovrenosa be'emtzar rechava. So the brothers and the family would take this large barrel of fruit and they would smash the barrel of fruit in the middle of the street. V'omrim achenu beis Yisrael shimu achenu ploni nasa isha she'ena hogenaslo u'misyarim anu shema yisarev zaro bezarenu. They made this whole public proclamation. Our brother is marrying a woman who's not good for him, and we don't want our children to intermingle with his children. You should take a sample, take some kind of an example for future generations, so that your children shouldn't intermingle with the children of people who are not right for them. This is what the Gemara calls a ktsatsa. This is the thing that the child is believed to say because it was such a big event. It was such a to do that the assumption was that the kid, even when he was 10, remembers. I remember going out in the street and they broke a barrel of fruit and was a whole thing. So the kid is believed to say that that's actually what happened. Hajjalach, Haisha Shenasarmala.